This is
Gerazet Hayer,
a toast to Armenia with Jano Kabinjian. A comprehensive look at the Armenian culture, only on the Ignotainment Media Network.
Gerazet Hayer, Parluisin Shpesek. It's June 26th. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Wonderful, wonderful. It's hot.
I know. It's really hot outside. Our news, you know what, folks? I'm just going to cover one news, and this is a big news. What's going on in Armenia right now with the protest over the electricity 20% hike, and the people got a right here to protest this. The government cannot keep taxation on these folks on electricity. I mean, this is crazy. They're already paying a lot, Chris. And on top of that, now the government wants a 20% hike and the people are protesting. You know, when's it going to stop?
Yeah, that's a huge hike.
When's it going to stop? That's amazing. That's amazing. These people don't even make that much money, and to worry about turning on a light just so they could read or just so they could eat. It's amazing. And, you know, my prayers are out for you folks out there. I hope there's a solution soon, and a nonviolent solution at that, because we need our people to be together. And this is what I was preaching about April 24th, and I think this time it's up to the government to just say, hey, we've gone too far on this one. Let's cut back, and let's take care of the folks one time.
Absolutely.
On different news, this was last week, and I'm sorry I did not cover it, and it's a shame that I missed it, but hey, folks, and you all know it, Kirk Kerkorian passed away, a big patriot of the Armenian flag. He did everything for Armenia, and the Yerakuin lost a real good son. Last week, he died, I think, at the age of 98, so he lived a nice long life. Yeah, it was a beautiful... He was just a beautiful man, Chris. He did so much for Armenia. Anything he could have done, he did. So God bless, and we will never forget you, Kirk Kerkorian. God bless and rest in peace.
Absolutely.
And, hey, we got a guest. We got a guest on our show.
It's a great guest.
Inga Stamboltyan.
Yep.
Is that the... did I say that last name right? Stamboltyan?
Stamboltyan, yes, there you go.
Perfect. An Armenian actress, singer, dancer, a key role in the movie Aram Aram. Inga, we are thrilled to have you on our podcast show.
I am thrilled to be here. Thank you for having me.
Anytime. Inga, from what Chris tells us from the movie Aram Aram, you had a key role in this movie, and we do not want to hear what you did, because that'll give it away. He said it's a big role. But how was it working with an all-Armenian cast? Was there a lot more pressure on you on this one?
I think there's always pressure, because you're always striving to do a good job, and I always take that responsibility very seriously. And it wasn't my first time working with an all Armenian cast. I've done previous TV drama series that was shot here. The first TV series that was shot in America, that was filmed in America but viewed in communities all over, Armenian communities all over, whether it's the U.S. or international. And I really enjoyed being able to work on my craft in my native tongue.
Now, and, was that movie, you did a movie before that called Immigrant, was that?
Yeah, it was a TV series. It was shot for about a year. Yes, it was an Armenian TV drama series.
Kind of like a soap opera? An Armenian soap opera? Wow.
Yes.
I didn't know we had those.
Oh, I know. It's as of very recently, about five. I would say we started in 2009. Now they shoot a few here. They also shoot some in Armenia, and so it's growing. And there's a public interest in it. So it was actually my first time working with Levon Sharafian and Ala Tumanyan at the time. And they happen to be in this film as well. So it's nice to work with them again because they, I regard them so highly, and I learned so much just by watching them and talking to them. So it was a privilege, to say the least.
Now, in the soap opera, I'm going back to the soap opera, did they kill you off, or are you on an island somewhere that you could return one day back on the show? How did that conclude with you?
I was not killed off, no, but I think, I don't know if she would return, but sounds like a good spinoff for her to come back and get her revenge.
There you go. Now, you were working on this Aram Aram with this amazing little boy that Chris couldn't stop raving about. His name is John Ruhinyan. Did I say that right?
Yes. John Sevak, yes.
Yeah.
He is phenomenal.
Yeah, they said that they just found him off the streets, really. Was that how it worked? I mean, this kid did not even have any background in front of the cinema at all, in front of the camera.
Well, you know, I'm going to talk about Chris's capability. I feel that everyone has the capability of giving an outstanding performance, but it's a director that can read the person and guide them and allow them to flourish naturally. And Chris gave that avenue to John and empowered him, and he flourished into an artist and right in front of us. And I think it's a collective of things that help do that, facilitate that. And he did. He took the role, and it was just beautiful to watch him step
beautiful.
Into his own.
Was he working with Chris? Did he give you guys like the whole notion that be Armenian, I want you guys to feel comfortable doing the role by being Armenians? And I mean, was there a lot of input from him, or was it input from him to from you guys to him on the script?
I think it was a little bit of both. That's what it takes when you collaborate, especially Chris not knowing the language, it was kind of our responsibility to give our input and let him know the nuances of the culture, of the language. We had different dialects. I have a high Ashanti dialect, and John, the little boy, Sevak, he has a Bedouin accent. And so those are nuances that someone who's not familiar with the culture and the language wouldn't know. So I think it was kind of mutual how we helped each other kind of go through the steps in this process.
Right. And I definitely know about the dialect situation. I'm married to an Armenian from Armenia, and there's a lot of times I just pick up one word or two words in the sentence and I roll with it, and sometimes I get people laughing at me at every party. So,
yeah.
Hey, how have you been doing in the theatrical and big screen work? I mean, how long have you been doing this?
Well, I was fortunate enough to start at a very early age. I started taking my first acting classes here in Hollywood when I was 9 years old. And so throughout my life, I've kind of just been chipping at it and putting this extra project on my resume and then this project and then this project. And now I can reflect and look back and say, wow, it's been a while. So, practically about 20 years, I can say I've been involved some way, some form or another.
Did you have your family's support on this? And you don't even sound like you got an accent. Since 9 years old, you've been doing this. So it's been relatively easy on the notion that your language, it wasn't like holding you back on. There's a lot of Armenians that you could tell are from Armenia and Beirut and so forth. You sound very much like me, an American, naturally.
Well, I did come to the States from Hayastan when I was 3 years old. So I learned how to speak English and Armenian here in Los Angeles. My parents were very persistent that we preserved our Armenian language. And I went to American school, public school, and I also went to Saturday Armenian school, and I learned how to read and write in Armenian, which gave me the advantage to be able to work with the Armenian industry, the Armenian entertainment industry, because the scripts were in Armenian. So that duality of language really came in handy. But, you know, it was a struggle, I think, finding my identity as an artist, finding my identity as an individual growing up in a very diverse city such as Los Angeles. I had my struggles. And I think that anyone who's trying to find themselves, whether as an individual or an artist, comes across these types of challenges, which eventually help shape who you are. And I definitely had the struggles linguistically, learning the language, but persistence pays off.
But it's so cool that you mentioned that your parents still believed in keeping the culture, I'm in the St. Louis area, and we're limited to how many families we have and so forth, and most of them are now speaking English and so forth. But every time that we were in the house, our parents said, "You got to speak Armenian. You got to hide in Bichosis all the time." So. It was our only way. It was our only way of keeping what we still have left. It's like you're on an island and you don't want to lose anything that they built up throughout their time. So, it was very interesting that you said that.
I still get that from my mom. She will make me repeat my questions if they're in English to her. And
really?
No, let's try that again. So sometimes, I get a little frustrated if I'm trying to express my thoughts, and so I understand where she's coming from. Had she not done this, I would not have the opportunity to work in my native tongue. And I think now as an adult, I appreciate that so much more. When I was a little girl, I didn't understand why everybody had their weekends and I had to go read Armenian and learn how to write Armenian, but I'm so blessed and thankful, and just I wish to do the same to my kids one day. So I believe in that, to that sense of identity, to preserve it, is very important in who you are as an individual.
Oh, bravo. And you know the thing on that too, Inga, my parents, when they talked to me and so forth, after a while, I started thinking in English on the response, and it wasn't in Armenian, and I had to battle that as well. So, it's like...
I can relate.
Yeah. So, in any case, it's so beautiful to have you on our show here. And I got a question here. Now, you got a big... you're also involved in a play. You did it. And it's being presented right now in Hollywood, called the Fringe Festival. Tell us a little bit about that. You're really into that this weekend. You're going to be into this. Let our people know about this one.
Sure. The Dogs of War is the name of the play, and it is a dark comedy. It's a contemporary piece. It's a very poetic tragedy, and it's an original play written and directed by James Stomeen. And it's a modern tale of gang warfare and romantic intrigue. And I think what's so unique about this piece is the language. It's a poetic tapestry of colorful and imaginative language. And the narrative unfolds in rhyme, actually, throughout the whole play. It weaves in and out while it touches through the urban drama that we're trying to create on stage. And it is our closing weekend. The Hollywood Fringe Festival is a theatrical performance arts festival, which started here in Hollywood in 2005. There's a few of them actually all over. The original one, it's the Hollywood Fringe is modeled after the Edinburgh Festival, which is in Scotland, and it's a performance arts festival. So that became really big, and it had other cities and states host the festival. And Los Angeles is now one of the biggest fringe festivals in the nation. So it's very appropriate for us to have such a. It's almost experimental piece, but it has a powerful message, and the language is so it's almost melodic. You just are captivated by the language. So it's definitely a fringe-worthy piece that I'm excited, and it's my fourth year with the Fringe. So I'm a true patron. I love it. I love participating, and I love watching and learning from my fellow colleagues.
Now, you said this is about gangs. Is this like the movie Gangs of New York type, where it's based on the old gangs or the 1940 gangs or the modern?
No. It's a modern contemporary piece. It's set in modern day Los Angeles.
I gotcha.
Yes. So it's not only about the gang itself. It has a lot to do with friendship and betrayal and revenge. The main character, without giving away to the plot, gets drunk on her revenge and wants to plot revenge, and she comes up with a murderous plot. And so viewers have to come see what happens. I'm not going to give it away.
Hey, you know, to follow up on that, I wanted to ask, I saw a project that you were involved in a few years back here that was called Starving in Hollywood. And I would love to hear some more about that. I actually, when this originally started, I'd actually had heard about it from a friend and had seen some. So I would love to hear about your experience in Starving in Hollywood.
There you go, Chris. Great
sure.
question.
Oh, this is great. Actually, the producer of The Dogs of War, Shameless Redhead Production, they're the ones who produce Starving in Hollywood. Great people, love working with them, great creative minds. And they had a few episodes and that they shot, little clips, like a variety show, but, little clips. And I participated in two of their clips.
Nice.
And it was really fun to just come together with people that you enjoy working with, that you can collaborate with, and you can create freely. And that's how I felt working with John Boyard, I think that's his, I'm going to butcher his last name.
Sure.
But Rebecca Honeck, she is the Shameless Redhead producer. And so this is my the third production. We did The Singing School last year for the Hollywood Fringe, and we did also Tomahawk the year before that. So, it's great. Thank you. Didn't even know that.
There you go. Is this event open to the public this weekend?
Absolutely, yes. Come one, come all. Bring your friends and family.
Is there a phone number or anything like that or is there a .com that they could go to for this?
Yes, there is. We are on the Hollywood Fringe Festival website. I can give you that email at website, which
please.
Is HF.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. It's hff15.org/2117. That will take you directly to the Hollywood Fringe website. Now, if you want to see the plays page, it's on Facebook, and it's facebook.com/DOW for Dogs of War Fringe, as in the Fringe Festival.
You know what we should do, Chris? Whenever we get done with this interview, we should have that site available
yeah.
whenever we're going to
Yeah, it'll
put the episode up.
So it'll be available on all of our social media. It'll also will be in the description of the show. So anyone who is hearing the show right now and would like to see it or would like to get more information, the link will be there in the description.
Great. I appreciate that. Yes, we have two more shows left, Friday, June 26th at 8 p.m. And we have our last show, Sunday, June 28th at 5:30 p.m. in the Asylum Complex, the Lillian Theater stage. It's a beautiful stage. I look forward to seeing your listeners.
Definitely, definitely. Hey, let me ask you this, though. Which one do you enjoy more doing, the plays in front of people or working in front of a camera?
That's a good question. And I'm going to be as honest as I possibly can. Doing theater is exponentially harder because you are working on a project for months. Sometimes when you're filming, you film a snippet and then it cuts and then you go back to filming it and then you're, you know, back relaxing, taking a break, and then you come back and then you're kind of going in and out of the character. But when you're on stage for however long, that 90 minutes, you don't get a chance to get out of character. You spent months and months preparing and working on the mannerisms of this character, and it just kind of takes over, and you
become that person.
Yes, I like the mental workout, the physical workout, the emotional workout you get when you are putting on a production. It is sometimes very hard putting on a production because it requires so much energy, so much intellectual capabilities, and I like that, though. It's a very good workout for me. Sometimes I don't get to go to the gym, but I run around on stage like I'm lifting weights.
Yeah.
So I do prefer that. But, you know, I mean, each experience lends itself something that I always take something away from it, So,
well, here's a question that kind of ties with that one. What do you suggest? You know, I'm sure there's a lot of young people out there listening to our show that say, you know, I'd love to be in Hollywood. I'd love to be in a theatrical position. What do they have to do?
Well, I'm sure there's many ways of approaching it. There's so many ways to be involved. With, you don't have to be in front of the camera. You can be behind the camera. And so I say explore all the opportunities and all the avenues that you can. I'm fortunate enough to have my sister be in the industry as well. She is an assistant director. So, you know, she might give different advice than I would, but I think the most important thing is to get the training you need as a performer.
Sure.
Get the education. Get to know yourself. It's a lot of self-reflective work. You have to be able to tap into yourself emotionally, and that's hard to do, to be so vulnerable and to be so exposed at times. And I think once you master that and you've worked with enough diverse people, when you become good, people will seek you and they will call you. And so when you focus on your craft, all those other things kind of come into your view. There are times where I've had to go knock on doors, and there are times where I've gotten a phone call to ask me to join a production. I rarely say no because every experience is worth it. Every experience is just one more thing that you can add to your resume. You know, doing theater in LA prior to the Fringe, I would say, was a lot harder. This is a very film-directed industry here in Hollywood. It's very film-oriented. So you just have to make a choice where you see yourself, where you fit, where you can contribute. There are times where I've been on a production, not only as an actor, but also as a set designer, also as a costume designer. You just have to be able to be versatile in,
right,
in how you contribute. You can't just, you can't say, I'm only going to be acting. You know, doing costumes is going to also help with your craft and how you see yourself. And all those things, they add up. So take all the opportunities, knock on the doors, get your education, get your training, do some.
And don't be discouraged too, right? I mean, there's going to be a lot of setbacks.
Absolutely. It's never personal. Sometimes you could be really good and you just don't look the part.
Right.
And, you know, it might feel discouraging at some times, but it's just the reality, and you have to take the good and the bad. And then at the end of the day, you have to be proud of what you do.
Sure,
and,
sure.
And it helps when you have a supportive family.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, I heard that last interview we had with Chris, he mentioned that the crew is headed back to Armenia, or headed to Armenia to present Aram Aram. Are you going on this trip as well?
I will be making a visit to Armenia. Unfortunately, I don't think it will be during the Golden Apricot South Film Festival, but mm-hmm. I will be going to Armenia in the fall,
good.
Hopefully to represent the film, but everything is still under works. You know, we had such a successful sold-out world premiere at the LA Film Festival. It was the first Armenian-themed film ever invited to the LA Fest in its
wow.
entire 20-year history. So this film has a journey to make, and sometimes you don't know what direction it's going to go in until you're there. So I'm looking forward to seeing how it will flourish.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, I tell you what, it's been great having you on our show, Inga. Any future plans coming up for you, you let us know. We're friends of yours now. You could give us a shout anytime, and you could get on our show, and let's promote it.
I love it. Thank you. I really appreciate it. I think
it was great finding you. I'm glad, Chris. You know, the thing about it, this whole show is based on just knowing people that know people and so forth. Because like I told you yesterday, I talked to her yesterday, Chris, and I mentioned to her that it is so hard to find our guests. And, you know, it's like a screenwriter finds a director.
Absolutely.
Director gives me an
yep.
actor. And that's how we're doing it. And so good to have you on our show. And, you know, come back anytime to tell us what you got. And we will definitely be here to promote it.
I love it. Thank you. I appreciate it. I will, definitely. And I wish you guys much success. And I love what you guys are doing. And keep at it. You guys have our support here in LA.
Thank you very much. Thank you. That was Inga Stambolchian. Thank you very much, Inga.
Thank you.
All right. Well, Chris, it's time for our big session with, we got to have a little music for Mariam,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I know. The next time she comes on, we'll have some good music.
We'll have some special music for Mariam here. And Mariam, what do you got for us this week?
Hi, guys. Yeah, today's recipe is called chicken pavlova.
Chicken pavlova.
Yes.
I never knew we had a pavlova.
It's savory.
Chicken.
It's savory, yes.
Right.
This is, once again, Eastern Armenian dish, and I learned it from Lucine Badalian, who is a radio host at Radio Van, FM 102.0 in Armenia.
Great.
And it's layered like pavlova. That's why it's called chicken pavlova. And what I love about this dish is that it's very easy to make, and it doesn't take too much time to prepare it, which is the problem with every one of us nowadays. We never have time to cook.
You're right.
So, yeah, and the ingredients are lavash, which is the Armenian flatbread, and
mm-hmm.
then chicken breast cubed and marinated in a white vinegar, Swiss cheese, mayo, melted butter, salt and pepper. Very
wow.
simple.
Wow. And you said this is like pahlava, to where it's layered?
Yeah, it's layered like it would be like baklava is layered with phyllo dough. This is layered with lavash. And I added mushrooms to this because I love mushrooms, but you don't have to. It's optional if you don't want to.
No, we love mushrooms.
We do love mushrooms.
Yes. Is there any, like, white sauce or anything that comes with this, or is this going to be
plain? Well, I'll tell you how it actually goes. To prep it, we layer the flat bread in a baking dish and brush each layer with the melted butter. So it won't, you know, it will not come out dry.
Mm-hmm.
And when you reach the top of the flat bread, drain the meat. And pat it dry, and then layer the raw chicken cubes on top of the bread. I know this sounds a little bit weird. It sounded to me, too, but it comes out great. And then you spread the mayo all over the meat. That's like the sauce part. And you sprinkle it with the grated cheese on the top, and then lastly, you layer the slices of mushrooms. You cover it with the foil, and you bake it in 350-degree oven until chicken is cooked all the way, but it's not dried. And then you uncover it and bake it a little bit more so the cheese can become golden brown. And then that's it.
Quick question.
That's very easy.
Quick question. Now, is the chicken, are they in little chunks or are they in big strips? And is this the breast or which part of the chicken?
It's the chicken breast. Yeah, it's the chicken breast because you want it to cook fast. Mm-hmm. And plus you cube in little cubes.
Right,
it has
and little,
to be little
cubes.
Bit, yeah.
I got you. Because every Armenian chicken dish that I know of, they throw the big chicken bones in there and everything, and I always battle that. So this is strictly
chicken breast. Yeah, this is the chicken breast, skinless, boneless chicken breast.
And are you preparing that chicken before on a different pan and then putting it into these layers, or are they cooking together?
They're all cooking together, and the reason it cooks together, it cooks fast, is because you're marinating the chicken cubes in vinegar, and vinegar kind of cooks it.
Vinegar.
Yeah, and you can do this an hour before, you can do this a night before, it depends on the time.
Is there any garlic involved? Because you know how much we love garlic.
You may add garlic, you may add onions, whatever you want to add to the sauce on
there
the top. It's all up to you, yeah.
That's our dish. And what's this called?
Chicken paklava.
Chicken paklava. You can't go wrong with anything called paklava, Chris.
You're right about that. I'm a big, huge fan
of paklava. So thank you, Mariam. You got what's your site there so the people can get on yours?
Later on, I'll post this on my site, and it's called Cooking with My Armenian Family. This one is not in my book. It's just on my site. But you can find the full recipe and a picture in my site.
Perfect. Then that's our dish for this weekend, Chris. It's called chicken paklava.
I'll be having it at my house.
Well, hopefully. you'll burn down the kitchen.
Yeah, well, that's true.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mario.
No problem.
All right. We'll see you next week. And that concludes our show for this weekend. My friends, take care. Kisher party. God bless.
Tune in next week for another episode of
Genatzet Hayer,
A Toast to Armenia with Jano Kabinjian. You can find the show online at www.armeniaproud.com or download and subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher for Android. This is the Ignotainment Media Network. Yeah.